I do give you a warm welcome again this Wednesday evening. May the Lord richly bless you, those of you who have gathered here in the church hall, and also those who have joined us via the live stream. May the Lord bless us, may we be aware of him, and may we be particularly helped to pray tonight. The psalmist said in Psalm 72, verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-blessed God, we thank thee we have been reminded again there tonight of our precious Saviour. He is precious to us, O Lord. We are believing, and he is precious. And we thank thee for him. And as we read those words, we were reminded that we have been blessed in him. The psalmist looked forward there to a day when many would be blessed. And we thank thee the day was for us and we were blessed, O Lord, blessed in Jesus. And we thank thee for those who are being brought to him at this present time and those who will in the future. And we thank thee for the spread of the gospel. We rejoice in it, and we pray again tonight that thou wouldst favour and bless the going forth of the gospel. Heal us tonight, help us to worship thee, O Lord, at the end of this day. Bless thy word to us, and help us particularly to pray tonight. O Lord, we come to thee. We are encouraged to pray. And as we pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst send forth labourers into the harvest, we know thou wilt answer our prayer. O Lord, hear us then. Cleanse us from this day's sins, of thought, word, and deed. Have all the glory this evening hour. Bless other congregations near and far who meet tonight in the middle of the week. Be in every place. Hear the prayers of all thy people, and may much be done for thy glory and the good of thy people tonight. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our first psalm, Psalm 22. Psalm 22, we're going to sing from the 23rd verse through to verse 28, and the tune is Naomi. Psalm 22, verses 23 through to verse 28. Praise ye the Lord, who do him fear, him glorify all ye. The seed of Jacob, fear him all, that Israel's children be. Notice particularly verse 25, as we considered on the Lord's Day, this psalm particularly concerns the Lord Jesus Christ, and the apostle identifies these verses of him, verse 22 and verse 25, of Jesus looking forward to being with his people, particularly in the New Testament age, leading the song. And this is the amazing truth as we think of these words tonight. He looked forward to being with us here tonight. Psalm 22, verses 23 through to verse 28.
Praise ye the Lord, who
Thank you.
turn with me into Luke chapter 10, and we'll commence the reading at verse 1. Luke chapter 10, and we'll commence the reading at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor script, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labourer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out of the streets, into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Thus far reads God's precious word. Amen. Well, just for a few moments tonight, before we give extra time to prayer, come with me to verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. Salvation is of the Lord, as Jonah declared in the belly of the fish. It's all of grace. The Apostle Paul made that plain in Ephesians 2 verse 8, For by grace are ye saved. However, we see in Scripture, in Romans, and in many other places, and here before us tonight, the Lord uses his servants instrumentally. The gospel ministry is an important work, and much prayer ought to be offered up concerning it. But not only the gospel ministry, but all the work of evangelism that is done by the Lord's people. The Lord will save, but he uses instrumentally. Much prayer must be offered up as we all go forth, seeking to do what we can to make Jesus known. Now, upon a certain occasion, our Lord appointed 70 other disciples and sent them. Just come with me to verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. He sends them forth, to go forth and make known the glorious gospel. What a message the messengers had to take and proclaim. And what a message it is today. As Ebenezer Erskine put it, it is the greatest news that a sinner here upon earth can hear. Let's just pause and consider that. Let's be reminded of it and refreshed in it. It is the greatest message you have heard or anyone else can hear today. Well, these 70, they went forth. He sends them forth. And then in verse 2, therefore he said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. Now in Matthew, our Lord speaks to the 12 concerning these things. But here, it was to the 70. To the 70 and to the 12. And yes, we can think that the word to the 70 was encouraging. There were more disciples, but still it was few. Even though there were 70 and there were 12, they were so few amongst the harvest. When they were to go forth, praying that the Lord would help them, but also praying that the Lord would raise up others. And just pause there. The gospel ministers to go forth and ever be praying that the Lord would raise up others. And it's my prayer that one day the Lord would raise up a servant here to follow in the pastorate. It's right to do so. But then as we all go forth, we go forth praying for help. Lord, help me to be that witness, even if I don't say anything, that witness of salt and light. Help me, Lord, to do good, that men might see the good works that I do, as we read in the New Testament, and glorify the Father. Help me, if it's possible for me, to speak a word. Help me. But as we go forth, we should be praying that the Lord would raise up others to join us, or others to go to another place and make known the gospel. Let's just bring it down a little more practically. As you go forth into the workplace, and you pray to be a witness, pray for others in the congregation, that the Lord would help them in the place they are in. Were they were to go forth, we read in verse 2, and they were to pray, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. Well, very briefly today, I'd like us to consider these words afresh. And first of all, let's consider the harvest is great. The harvest is great. Verse 2. The harvest truly is great. Now just consider, it's the Lord speaking. And he makes it plain. The harvest truly, there's no question, is great. And let's be encouraged in that. Sometimes God's servants can labour long. And they can be weary, like it was for Peter and those disciples. We toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, on we go, but they can be weary. Little fruit. But if we think of the whole picture, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's not a lean harvest. The harvest truly is great. The Lord will continue to save. What an encouragement. The Lord will continue to save. Now in a certain garden in Dunman which I do, it overlooks a large field. Gary would know where it is. In the April there is a hint of green in the field when I start cutting the grass. Well, as the weeks pass, I look over the hedge or the fence and observe the field. At this very present time, the wheat has grown. And there's the ear. And there will soon be the harvesting. It's a vast field. Not a little field. But think of this world. And in this world there is a great harvest. Last evening I decided to take Sharon to the nature reserve at Coombe Bissett in the hills. It's a lovely place. And we were walking along, most of it anyway, we were walking. And we just looked over, the sun was setting. A cool breeze at the end of the day. And what's so beautiful about that place is the fields. And what a sight it is. In the nature reserve is the grass and the different species of orchids. But then if you look over to the horizon, you see the harvest fields. And it's a lovely sight. And you look south and you look north and all around, west as well. And you see all a field, it's not a little field, but a vast expanse. As the Lord looks down on this world, and as he considers those in heaven already, what a harvest it has been and will be. Let's be encouraged. The harvest truly is great. Are you not thankful Jesus said that? We can look around and think, Lord, when will be there? Will be a great reaping. But if we look out and we look up, we're comforted. The harvest truly is great. There's no question. And are we not thankful when Jesus said these words? He was thinking of us here who love the Lord. We would make up the great harvest. Now we are few here, but we're part, are we not, of a great harvest so far? If we think of the visible church here upon earth, and we think indivisible church is the invisible church, all those truly united to Christ, and then those in heaven, what a harvest. And are we not thankful? We've been gathered in, and we've been gathered in by the gospel unto Jesus. We were drawn in effectual calling to where? The feet of Jesus. And through faith we embraced him. Part of the harvest. Is anyone here or listening online? Are you part of this harvest? If not, oh, my prayer is, yet you will be gathered in, that you will be brought unto Christ. Where the Lord says, the harvest truly is great. Let's just briefly consider this. Firstly, it is great because it's the Lord's harvest. It's the Lord's harvest. And any work of the Lord is glorious, isn't it? And great. When we consider the individual salvation of a sinner, it's wonderful. It's glorious. When there's repentance, what happens in heaven? The angels rejoice. They rejoice and they magnify the Lord. It's great because it's the Lord's harvest. And he doeth all things well. I remember as a child I used to make things out of Meccano. One day I made this little fairground ride to enter a competition. And I made the little fairground ride and I had a little motor. But I hadn't made it too well because when in the classroom where they would be judged, when it was turned on, because I hadn't tightened up all the bolts, things started flying off the fairground ride. The teacher smiled and so did I. It wasn't really great. But what the Lord does is nothing but great. It's a great in view of its multitude, it's plenteous, but it's great because it's the Lord's harvest. What the Lord does is great and glorious. How precious is his grace. How wonderful is his salvation. It's great because it's the Lord's harvest. Secondly, because, as already mentioned, it's a vast harvest. So vast. You take notes of the fields, the cornfields, the barley, and the other crops in the fields. You take note. Look at the great expanse, the vast fields, so much to be gathered in. Oh, as we think of the spiritual harvest. So many have been saved so far. There's millions, billions already in heaven. So great. And further there will be many saved. In Revelation 7 verse 9 we are led to consider clearly that the elect, those who have been and will be saved, will make up a number which no man can number. Revelation 7 verse 9, after this I beheld and though a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Heaven will not be sparsely populated. When you get to heaven, first of all, you'll be amazed at Christ. And then you'll be taken back as well. That's how many are in heaven. And then when we think of the heavenly world, when heaven and earth will be one, after that great day, and the Lord says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We'll be amazed. There's so many going with us. to enjoy the presence of Jesus, to dine with him, to be so happy, to walk with him. We'd be so amazed. Remember those words of the Queen of Sheba. The half was not told me. She admired the beauty of Solomon's place. When we get to heaven and the heavenly world, I will say to you, because we'll see each other in heaven, the half was not told me. And you'll say, yes, I remember what you said. The half wasn't told us. We knew there'd be so many, but we weren't prepared to see such a vast crowd. We have so many brothers and sisters in Christ. And what a blessing. So many are praying for us here upon earth. Heaven will not be sparsely populated. It's a great harvest. What we sing earlier in Psalm 22, verse 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And you just think again, the Lord is speaking. Remember what Spurgeon said at that psalm, and I believe it, and many others do, that our Lord repeated the whole of that psalm upon the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We thought, did we not, in Psalm 40 last week, he was in great agony, but he prayed for our joy. Well, there on the cross, he looked forward and he considered the fruit that would come. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Psalm 72, verse 8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. From sea to sea. Start where you will, says Spurgeon, and his dominion will be before you. Psalm 72, verse 16, there shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass on the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. On Monday, I heard a report. I can't tell you the report yet, but you'll be able to read it in the TBS Quarterly magazine. And the report began, and it was amazing. So many more language groups are to be reached with the gospel until the earth be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So many people have never heard of Jesus. All nations shall call him blessed. There's work to be done. There's a great harvest still. There's places where they've never heard of Christ. They've never had one verse of Scripture. One day, that people group will hear, and in that people group there will be those who will come to faith in Jesus Christ. Out of all kindreds, we're told in Revelation 7, verse 9, and people. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Jesus said, the harvest truly is great. Let the whole earth then be filled with his glory. And just think of this to our encouragement. As we think of men and women, boys and girls being saved in the light of what the Lord is saying here. The name of Jesus will be heard again and again. Souls will be gathered in. There will be a great harvest still. No government, no man can stop the growth of the church. Satan cannot do it. No, they come up against the king, and the king goes forth to subdue men and women to themselves, and the enemies of the king cannot thwart or halt his work. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Spurgeon wrote, God's church is no mean thing. Its beginnings are small, but its increase is of the most astonishing kind. It is a great harvest. Secondly, the labourers are few. Just 70 here. In Matthew 9, just the 12. Only a small number, if you put them together, 82. Who went forth to labour. Now before we consider this, and we particularly consider gospel ministers, let's just open this up in a general way. There's much work to be done, and not just for the ministers of the gospel. There's work to be done with our neighbours, amongst the young people. Personal contacts there are for us to make. Letters can be written, schools reached, prisons. It was said of the late Mrs. E that in her latter years she wrote hundreds and hundreds of letters to prisoners in prison. There's a vast work. There's so much to do. But the labourers are few. But particularly consider the small group of men labouring in the ministry. Now in turning to Matthew 9, where our Lord addresses the 12, we see just prior to these words, our Lord was moved with compassion. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There were plenty of Pharisees and scribes who were blind leaders, who fed themselves and not the flock. Oh, what the people needed was faithful ministers, faithful under shepherds. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. Faithful men are few and far between. But just pause, God will use a few. And you remember how this was taught to Gideon. The army was greatly reduced, and then it was used by the Lord. And that's interesting, isn't it? You think in the Second World War, the pilots who flew the Spitfires and other such planes, some left and just over the way. Only a few of them. But what was accomplished by just a few? What was accomplished by Gideon's army? It was greatly reduced. And in the providence of God, it was greatly reduced so that God would even be more magnified and glorified. And sometimes in providence, God reduces so that when he does a great work, men glorify him more. They were but few. But the Lord hath done great things for them, wherein we are glad. The Lord can use a few men and women, boys and girls. The Lord can use a few ministers of the gospel. But, as we will note as we close in a moment, we're to pray for more. There's so few who preach faithfully, lovingly and earnestly the whole counsel of God. Oh, for more men to be raised up to attend the seminaries. Like that at Salisbury. And as we think of the seminary in Salisbury, pray to the Lord of the harvest that the numbers would multiply, more would be called. How we need more faithful gospel preachers today to join the few, to go forth. The labourers are few. There's a vast work out there. When you go for a ride just up towards Coombe Bissett and then on to Salisbury, you can go across the Salisbury Plain. Vast fields. This time of the year, the farmers are out and they're great big combine harvesters. One farmer in a cab, working hours. If you go across the field, rather across the plain tonight, about 11 o'clock, 11:30, you'll still see them out there with their lights on. Working away, such a vast field with a small tractor. So much to be done, but the labourers are few. And that leads us to consider now, in closing, our final point, the earnest prayer. The Lord looks on the vast harvest, and then he considers the few in his day that were going forth. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. Well, let's just conclude then by considering the earnest prayer. A word firstly to those disciples just before they went. Pray. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. Pray. We'll consider in a moment they were to pray for others, but they were to pray that the Lord would take them forth to the places they were to go and assist them in the work. They needed help. How God's servants need help. How they're to pray as they go forward. With many difficulties, much opposition, fruitless nights. They need help. Pray for it and your prayer will be answered. Help will be received. Matthew 28, the Lord speaks, "Pray therefore and teach all nations." Verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You may have to go on a hospital appointment. You ask a friend to go with you, to help you, to show you around, to guide you. You have a friend to help you, and I have a friend to help me. The friend is the one that sticketh closer than the brother. He will continue on with his servants. He will continue on with his people. Though I am with you always. They need help. They will find it. Every generation will find the help they need in the Lord. And the last generation, the last sermon to be preached, the last message brought in the jungle, faithfully, the Lord will help, right to the end. Oh, these disciples, they were to pray for help. But secondly, they were to pray that the Lord would raise up others. The labourers are few. The Lord was sending them. As they went forth, you pray for others. And how important that is, that ministers not only pray that they would be helped as they go forth, but that the Lord would raise up others. But that's not all. All the Lord's people should be regularly praying that the Lord would raise up labourers, would raise up others to help them in the work the Lord has given. Prayer is such an important way. Prayer is this pouring out of the heart sincerely to the Lord, and how we need to pour out our hearts again tonight. To the Lord, raise up labourers. Help us. Help us when we seek to serve the Lord, but help others. Send them forth. Pour out your heart. Prayer is seen as a knocking and an asking. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask. And ask like a child. I remember seeing my granny's mint cakes. So I would go and ask her, "Granny, can I have one of those mint cakes?" She nearly always said yes, as granny's thing. Like a child. Asking, like a child, ask the Lord. In the light of God's will, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, go seeking in prayer. Seek the Lord, be focused on him. Knock, there's intent there, isn't there? If you go and knock on someone's house, why, you hope the door opens. And you may stand there knocking, waiting for the door. Well, knock. And Jesus says, "It shall be opened unto you." Go on knocking. Do not leave off this vital work. Pray for that which he has asked us to pray for. That which is agreeable to his will. Ministers are to pray. We're all to pray. Pray, says the Lord here. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. Now consider he is sovereign. His providence is over all. He's the Lord of the harvest. Salvation is of the Lord. It's his effectual calling. that the king asks his subjects and he asks his labourers to pray. That's so interesting, isn't it? Jesus is saying here, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. You pray. What condescension. How amazing. He wants us to pray to him that he would raise up labourers. It's a prayer he will answer. Romans 10 verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? He's these questions, and when we think of the promises and the harvest which is great, it's a prayer that will be answered. Pray. Why does the Lord ask us to pray? Well, first of all, for his glory. He desires that we would see souls be saved and that we would glorify him. He asks us to pray for his glory. It's right to pray, isn't it, for his glory? But can I suggest something else? There's many reasons. Why does he ask us to pray that he would send forth labourers into the harvest? Well, I suggest this because he wants to encourage us. There's a vast harvest. There's much work to be done. He asks us to pray because he wants to encourage us. Your prayers are going to be answered. A harvest will be gathered in. You will know it one day. You pray. For our encouragement he asks us to pray. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. And then thirdly, he asks us to pray because he wants us to know that prayers will be answered if we pray in light of his will. You pray. We know God will bring in a harvest, but you pray. And your prayer will be answered. What encouragement to pray. We'll be encouraged by seeing our prayers answered, but encouragement to pray. Go forth praying. Praying that the Lord would raise up labourers. Pray, listen to J.C. Ryle. If we know nothing of prayer, let us make it a point of conscience never to forget this solemn charge of our Lord's. Personal work for souls is good. Giving money is good. But praying is best of all. By prayer we reach him. Without whom work and money are alike in vain. We reach him, we touch him, he calls us to pray, and his heart is touched when he sees his people by faith praying, Lord, send forth labourers, and he answers the prayer. The harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. It's a vast harvest and it can't all be done by a few. So the Lord will answer prayer. Let's pray this tonight. And pray believing. And pray with excitement. If God asks us to pray, souls are going to be saved. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we commence this time of prayer by doing directly for what thou hast asked us to do. And we would pray to thee, thou art the Lord of the harvest, send forth labourers into the harvest. If it please thee, be working in some man's heart tonight and call them to the ministry. Lord, we beseech thee, answer our prayers. Lord, we long to see many more. And Lord, we are encouraged by this. And thou art going to encourage us by revealing more of thy providence to us and our prayers being answered. Help us to pray. Like Peter, at times we can be weary, discouraged, Lord. But Lord, we focus on thee, the Master. And we listen. And we will pray. Hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our second phrase, Psalm 126, and the tune is 4. When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we, and filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue, with melody. Psalm 126.
When Zion's bondage God turned back, and men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter
sincerely. Be assured of our love and prayers here at Ipsley. Thank you.